Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, it's the last SmackDown before Survivor Series for brand supremacy. I wonder if Raw or NXT will show up. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, Buzz.
What is up, everybody? We are live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify. Like and subscribe and tell your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV as we break down Friday Night SmackDown. What's up, everybody? I am Josh Tariff. Whole gang is with me here this week. She is back. She's back from conquering the world, because that's what she just travels and conquers the world. It's Gabby Loren.
Hey, guys. I am back, but I'm still not done conquering the world.
Hasn't been completely conquered yet?
No, I'm still conquering it every day.
Oh, it's a process of conquering.
Exactly. It's an ongoing thing.
Got it. Well, I'm glad that you're back.
Hi, guys. So glad to be back.
And then over in the corner, because he knows what he did.
Yep. I'm just conquering diapers every day. Never ending as well.
Actually, I did want to ask you about, you know, dad life. Yes. How is that going for you? Because I just saw my good friend who had a baby, and it seems very stressful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like your whole life is changing. You have two. And
the
she
stress
was like,
is real.
She asked me how you were doing with two kids, because obviously it's hard just having one.
I mean, thank the Lord that we have help. My mom was here for a month. She just left the other day. Mm-hmm. And then my fiance's mom and her boyfriend have been staying with us. So it's like, it takes a village.
Aren't they about 3 months old now?
Yeah, they just turned 3 months. They're almost going to be 4 months.
I can't believe they're already 4 months old.
I know. They're really starting to smile. And it's crazy. It's crazy when you talk, like, say something to them. And they, like, really react to you right away.
Do they cry at the same time?
Sometimes. It depends. Most of the time, it's when I'm alone with them, they're like, oh, let's have a mental breakdown. Let's just both cry. And you're like, come on, guys.
I want to see Daddy rage like he does on AfterBuzz.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but it's going well. It's going well. It's good. Awesome. It's crazy just to see them getting bigger and see their personalities come out.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, speaking of all different personalities come out, the last SmackDown, I don't know how I did that.
That was good.
Thank you. The last SmackDown before Survivor Series, we had all personalities from SmackDown, from Raw, from NXT, and
NXT UK.
And NXT UK, yeah. And if you wanted a good go-home show before a pay-per-view where it's brand versus brand versus brand, I think overall they did a really good job with SmackDown this week on it.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good SmackDown leading into the pay-per-view.
Yes.
Someone was in tweeting us about the commercial breaks, which I thought were really badly timed.
There were a couple awkward timings of commercial breaks during it. We'll probably get into one or two of them.
Which I think really, that hurt the flow of the show, for sure.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought it was good. It was definitely leading to, you know, the weekend and what was to come.
Well, maybe we should just get into the show then.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Oh, right. We start off with the SmackDown roster in the back, all huddling up, ready for their battle cry from their leader. Mm. And Baron Corbin thinks he's that leader.
But he is, isn't he?
Well, other than Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, no one else seems to be listening to him. And then Roman Reigns pops up on this little platform and says, we ain't going to act like cowards like Corbin is. And he goes ahead and they push the gate button to just lift the gates. Like, they're welcome to come in because we're going to fight them.
Mm. Like, the door being open or not, or the gate, I should say, would have stopped them from coming in or helped them come in. They were going to come in regardless.
I think they would still have performer passes, regardless.
Yeah, they were already inside the building, whether you opened the gate or not.
Like, even if it was shut, and like, knock, hello, ID? Oh, yes, you're on the WWE roster.
Yes.
Come on in.
There are doors.
I liked it, though.
Yeah, no, it was a different intro.
Yeah.
And Sasha then also comes up and says, no, the boss doesn't wait for anyone. We're just coming down to the ring now and leads the women's team to the ring to get the show started.
Yeah, like I thought it was a good speech by Roman to, you know, get the troops ready for battle.
Yeah.
And it felt like you were watching like a Game of Thrones kind of thing of like, you know, hey, we don't care. We have to fight these people. We're just going to let them in, and we're going to, you know, beat them up. We're not afraid of them. And then you got Corbin being, you know, a little bitch. And
wow.
Ooh.
Wow. You're right. When the kids start crying, he just gets his anger and needs to. And this is a way to let it out.
Yeah.
He was fired up before he got here.
Yes. Exactly, yeah.
So Team Sasha comes to the ring. Sasha now has a new remix of her entrance theme, which sounds like it's done by her uncle Snoop Dogg.
It is.
And I do not like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
I do.
I love Bailey's new music. I don't like Sasha's.
I'm the complete opposite. I hate Bailey's music. It's so generic and boring. right? I mean, maybe I have to listen to it more.
I mean, the theme could be used for a lot of different people. It's not like a Bailey theme, so I get what you're saying with that.
Mm.
But I just think it's a good wrestler's theme.
Yeah, I'm just glad Bailey's not doing her old shtick.
No more hugging.
Yeah, no more hugging. That just... I wasn't having it, but I'm okay with this now. This, to me, is way better than what we were seeing before.
So Team Sasha, they call out the other women that are going to be involved in the Survivor Series match. Team Raw shows up, and Charlotte challenges Sasha to a match for old time's sake. Then Team NXT shows up, and Rhea Ripley, who's the captain of Team NXT, she's like, well, no, like, you guys have wrestled a lot, and we're the future. So I should kind of be in that match.
Mm.
And then we have a triple threat between Sasha, Charlotte, and Rhea.
Mm.
And this was a fun triple threat match. Early in the match, Charlotte threw Sasha into Nikki Cross, continuing the animosity that was on Team SmackDown, especially between Sasha and Nikki, which, yeah, great. Your team is supposed to lead the brand, and you fight with each other, because we've never seen that story before.
Yeah. But, I mean, at least it was continuity of, like... Because I felt like before when they all showed up, like, was it last week or the week before?
Mm-hmm.
Like, then it was just like, oh, yeah, we're all a team. We're all together. Like, I...
And did you notice it was only SmackDown that had the problem in both? The women had this and the men had it with Corbin and Roman?
Yeah. But it wasn't as bad on SmackDown. I mean, on the women. Sorry.
I'm like, what?
I'm like, with the women.
So, overall, what did you guys think of the Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, and Sasha Banks
situation? I really enjoyed the triple threat match. I loved the finish.
Yeah.
When Charlotte locked in the figure eight, and she had it locked in on Sasha. Sasha's pretty much getting ready to tap. Rhea then hops on top of Charlotte.
Yeah, the finish was great.
To pin her, because Charlotte's legs are tied up. And Sasha can't get out. It was reminiscent.
But it was like a crucifix pin, though.
Yeah.
Like, so she was like under her.
Yeah.
Which made it even harder for her to
get out. It was very reminiscent of when Curtis Axel won the Intercontinental title because he pinned Miz while Miz had the figure four locked on, who was it, Barrett, I think it was.
Maybe.
Back then. So it was a nice surprise, a unique type of pin, and a big win for Rhea. And then once the match ended, they all Raw and SmackDown started brawling, and NXT was on top of the ramp just laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing: I like Rhea and Charlotte, especially together. Also Sasha, but I felt like there were some messy moments tonight between Charlotte and Rhea for some reason, like moments missed. Does that make sense? Did you see that, or is it just me?
I didn't necessarily notice something. I mean...
Really?
It,
there were so many moments I felt like they were just off on communication.
I mean, they could have been. I don't know if this is probably the first time they've ever been in the ring together. So...
And it's rare for Charlotte to wrestle someone her size, if not bigger than her.
Yeah.
Who did Rhea recently wrestle from the roster, main roster?
Becky.
Becky. She wrestled Becky on NXT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked that. But, no, for some reason this, I felt like there were some messy moments and there was like a lack of communication. But things like the finish really pulled it together for me. And it was also nice to see just like somebody like Rhea in the ring with the main roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she clearly belongs up there if she ever were to go up there.
Yeah, there's no up anymore.
But that's the thing. When I say up, I mean like up later in the week.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, Wednesday's its own brand now.
Yeah.
The way they display themselves.
Because
so.
I feel like down next year, the draft is...
It's just going to be everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be all three brands.
Oh, yikes. So, okay, I'm carefully looking at the chat roll. Because I don't want any spoilers from things I haven't seen yet. But Joseph Boza said, I can see Vince wanting Rhea on the main roster within 1 to 3 years. Do you guys think...
Oh, yeah.
It will happen. I mean, I think one, two, or three.
Well,
which one?
Well,
she's there next draft.
Well, what Tom's saying really is that NXT is the main roster now at this point. There's no lower roster. They're all three are main rosters.
But I think.
I mean, I get what
you're
it
right.
is.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That is right. But the name Raw and the name SmackDown,
of course,
is, you know,
of course,
different than NXT.
Yeah, I mean, luckily now they're all on network, but there is still a hierarchy within the business. Mm-hmm.
And the other key thing in all this, which Zeno Hour just mentioned in the chat as well, Rhea Ripley's 23 years old.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm. She's got quite a future ahead of her.
Yeah.
So it's fine if she spends three more years down at NXT.
Yeah. I saw a bunch of people posting, I think it was today, like the picture of when she first debuted in the Mae Young Classic to like now, and someone was like, I can't believe this is the same person.
Oh, like, she's completely transformed.
Long hair, like, yeah, like, it's...
She lost weight, but then it all just got toned in muscle. And, yeah, she...
I mean, she's the next generation star.
She is a badass.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah, like, there's no... Out of the crop, the people that are at NXT, like, she is a future Raw champion, SmackDown champion.
I wonder what that's like...
NXT champion.
When you're that young and you've already attained such... a major career milestone at 23.
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
Well, clearly she was even younger when she signed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, she was even younger.
I think she was 18 when she signed, when she was in the Mae Young Classic.
No, that would have been 5 years ago. It wasn't 5 years ago.
Oh, then she was like 20.
20, okay. 20 21, something
sorry.
Like that.
Sorry.
Even so, like, that's unbelievable
That's the deal with, like, Tyler Bate.
Yeah.
Because he was, I think, 19 when he won the UK championship.
Yeah.
Which is just utterly insane.
Mm.
Baron Corbin is backstage with Roode and Ziggler. Thankfully, no more Big Dog, the dog from the previous week.
It'll be back, don't worry.
Oh, thank you. I was really worried about it. So Corbin's talking about how they don't understand how a leader should be. If Raw and NXT show up, we are going to escape and let them beat up Roman. Then we'll go in and beat up Roman too.
I think they should have left the dog at the door.
Yeah, that would have been.
You know?
Yeah, because when he starts barking, then, you know, then he showed up. Sami Zayn shows up with him, and Baron Corbin calls him annoying, and Sami Zayn started stepping up to Corbin, which may, I mean, I'm not against it, but it made no sense in anything that's going on.
Yeah.
And then his music hits, so then he just leaves and goes to the ring with Nakamura.
And Nakamura wasn't even... Was he with him at
that time? Not at that time, no.
Which I thought was even more interesting of, like... I thought that Corbin was going to try to go... Like, come back at Sami Zayn, and then Nakamura was going to kind of step in.
Yeah.
But he didn't even do that.
No.
It was just like, oh, all right, my music's playing. See ya. Or come to the ring and fight me if you want to do that.
Yeah. And then before they get to the ring, we have a quick promo with Bayley. She reminds us she's the only woman to hold all of the titles that exist.
It's true. It's just funny the way we have to say it because it's true.
Yeah. And Shayna is too impulsive for her own good. If Shayna's done hiding in the shadows, I'm here and I'm ready. So she's essentially calling out Shayna Baszler for later in the night. Now we have Sami Zayn and Nakamura in the ring, and Sami's trying to decide on a word to truly describe Nakamura. It's not artist. It's not, you know, legend.
Mm-hmm.
It's not champion. It's stud. Stud. And he made sure that he said it over and over again on how studly Nakamura is. That is the exact sound of the Chicago crowd during that part of the promo. But then he woke the crowd up because he had a gift for Nakamura. And this gift will be the subject of this week's Christian's Closet.
Oh.
Because nice. we got ourselves a brand new Intercontinental Championship. We got it up on the screen here for us in the studio to take a look at. The new title, the black, more sleek design with the Intercontinental and a whole different type of font than the previous with a smaller globe in the middle. My thought as far as with this title, I actually really, really, really like this title. I think it's really sharp. It's really modern looking. It's great for Fox. And it would be great if that was the Universal Championship. If that was the heavyweight, the main title, that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. The Intercontinental title should never be replaced.
Yeah. This is one of those things where, being a fan of WWE for so long, that if it's not broke, don't fix it. What are you doing?
How many people say their favorite title is the Intercontinental title?
Almost, I say about 80% of the people, probably.
Right. So let's get rid of it.
Like, why? But also, this is the thing that I don't understand with them. Why they would do this. You're going to just do this on a random SmackDown before a major pay-per-view that the title is not even being defended at.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it wasn't going to be defended.
Well, so then it doesn't actually matter if they did it on this SmackDown. If it's not being defended, it's not going to be seen.
The point is, it's a big deal.
Like, now everything's a big deal because it's on Fox, baby.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what night it is.
But see, I don't like that because it's the tradition and the honor of, like, people love that Intercontinental title. It looks different. It feels different. It looks different than any other title that they have. And now this title looks just like... It looks different. I'm not saying
it doesn't. No, yeah, definitely looks different than everything
but
else.
But also, I don't even know what that belt is anymore. That's the problem. I don't know. If I look at it, if I did not watch wrestling for the last couple years, and I tune in starting next week,
and saw that belt.
And Nakamura comes out with that belt, I'd be like, what belt does he have?
Yeah, because everyone knew the Intercontinental title because... The last few years, because it had the white strap. But for many, many, many years, it's because it had the giant blue globe in the middle of it. And this one doesn't have that anymore. I mean, it's got a tiny one, but it's not even blue anymore. So you only know it's Intercontinental if you look closely and see the font says Intercontinental. Again, I think the title looks awesome. And I'm fine with that being a title, just not as the Intercontinental title.
Yeah. I just think it's also, like, money hungry. Like,
oh, of course.
Oh, let's now get everyone's gonna buy that. Because now we gotta have people buy this. Like, I really hope the sales for this are
holiday
really
sales.
Crappy.
Holiday.
Really crappy sales I hope they get for this.
Yikes.
Because I think it'll prove that people don't want it. Like, you know, like, it's like when you, I don't know, I'm trying to think how you could compare it, but it's like, you know, a TV show or something that's, like, just classic that you like. Like, what if... Like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Next thing you know, he comes out looking completely different. You're like...
With a different nose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like a blue nose.
Yes, with a blue nose, not a red nose.
You just say he's extra cold. It's turning blue.
You know what I mean? Well, if I watched Rudolph, I'd be like, what the hell's wrong with his nose? It's a red nose. Like, I don't know. It's dumb. I think it's a ploy for them to get people to buy stuff and... I don't like it.
That's actually very genius in a way, if it is because of that, because here you have this new title, new look, new
holidays
vibe.
Coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, holidays are coming up. A lot of people are huge fans. Oh, I want the title. I want the title. So now, and this is the only one I don't have now, the new edition.
I don't know.
They're going to want to buy it.
If there was ever, if I would ever spend money on a title, it would be it would not be this one. It would be that old Intercontinental title.
Well, like, titles aside, I just bought my nephew for his birthday AJ Styles action figure. Just wanted to put that out there.
Has he gotten it yet?
Oh, yeah.
Or did he just spoil the present?
No, he called me this morning. They woke me up super early because they're on the East Coast to say thank you. But I spoke to him last week, and he told me on the phone that he really wanted an AJ Styles action figure. It's the only one he doesn't have or something out of the ones he loves. So I was like, all right. And he didn't know I was getting it for him, but he was really happy.
But in your mind, you're like, no, you should get another Kevin Owens figure.
I don't even know if he knows who Kevin Owens is, because his dad doesn't let him really watch, like, today's WWE. They watch more, like, older stuff.
How does he know AJ?
Or I don't want to say not always today's WWE, but he's, like, a little nervous about if, like, women or whatever.
He thinks
not just women.
He
but
thinks
if
it's, like, old school WWE
no,
happening?
No, well, not even old school, actually. Some of this, because some of the stuff from old school are really, like, crazy, too.
Yeah,
but he doesn't want his son to see, like, the things that involve, like, a little bit of the on the edge, like, gotcha. Women showing too much type of, or saying people saying too much.
So he needs to start.
He, needs to be like filtered. Yeah. So he, I think he's only showing him certain things.
Like 2008.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Started, right? Well, yeah. Well, same as how my nephew, apparently his favorite wrestlers are John Cena and Kane.
So he likes John Cena. He knows the Undertaker. Yeah. AJ Styles is now one of his favorites. Mm. But yeah, he doesn't see everything, so he doesn't know all of it. But he wanted that.
Well, and then to get back to the title, do we think we're getting a new U.S. title now? Are we getting new tag team titles?
Tag titles, no. Tag titles, I don't think we're getting new ones, because those ones still aren't that old yet.
I guess, yeah.
U.S. title, I mean, unless they want to do something with AJ, like making giving him his own type of custom title, almost not like one like... This one is now just replacing, but like how Daniel Bryan had his custom one, like maybe AJ would have a phenomenal title.
Gotcha.
You know, they might do that.
I mean, that title's looked the same for a long, that longer, I mean, for a long time.
Yeah, that title's been the same for a long time, too.
Being like, hey, let's change this up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we want that money.
Maybe we'll, maybe we'll tune in to Raw, and they might just do it. Who knows? Yeah. Now, in the midst of this title coronation, I don't know. They're interrupted by the Undisputed Era, and Sammy and Nakamura leave the ring for them. So here's my concept. So if we're ready, we're opening the gates for NXT to show up because we're going to fight them. Mm. Here come members of NXT. No, here's the ring. Go right ahead. No, it's okay. You can have it. Here's a microphone. Do you want this? You know, you can talk. It's on. I'll make sure they keep it on.
I was going to say, well, they're heels, so they're going to cower away anyway. That's the only reason. You know what I mean? But also, there wasn't really a...
Nakamura was about to wrestle Roderick, so why didn't they get into each other's faces?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I wish there was something between them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I don't get all the answers.
No, so they cower away. New Day comes out, challenges them to a match, and they bring out Heavy Machinery to help them, which leads to an 8-man tag team match.
Which, were you disappointed that it was Heavy Machinery as their tag team partners?
Who were you thinking it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be their revival.
No, I knew it was going to be like good guys.
See, this is where you're like, you're all on the same brand and you're all supposed to be SmackDown. You can put your differences aside for one night, like you're supposed to, and team with the revival. Because that would have been a hell of a tag team match. Not that this match wasn't good.
I actually really enjoyed this 8-man tag match. I did. Otis did great in this match.
And so did Tucker.
And yeah, and the crowd, a Chicago crowd, loved everything Otis was doing.
Yeah.
Which is surprising.
Didn't they also have a lot of CM Punk moments, though?
They did.
They had a few of those later on. I don't think they had that.
I heard them throughout. I don't know if it was during this match. But
of course. Well, now that CM Punk is part of WWE, even though he's on Fox, it's still WWE related. Mm. Now they're going to start chanting his name even more.
Yeah.
Especially in Chicago.
And anytime Seth Rollins comes to the ring.
Yes.
Because he wants to fight him now.
Yes. So again, yeah, really fun 8-man tag match. I mean, yeah, Tucker hits a friggin' moonsault, which I don't know if I ever seen Tucker hit a moonsault.
And it was awesome looking.
Yeah.
That shocked me, I think, most in this whole match.
Yeah. Eventually, super kick and a run on Tucker by Adam Cole, as well as a running knee by Strong. They pin Tucker. They get the win. Strong gets the pinfall to help give him some motivation. Momentum. That's the word. motivation. He doesn't need motivation. What am I talking about? After the match, Strong charges for Nakamura. Ada shows up. They brawl a little bit. Sammy gets a chair and attacks them. We come back from commercial, though. AJ's still on the ramp. Mm-hmm. And he's on a microphone now with Gallows and Anderson. That's when the crowd really started chanting CM Punk, because they're just like, we don't care about this promo. And especially,
which is weird because it's an AJ Styles.
It is AJ
promo.
Styles. I did find it weird that they're just saying we're the mother loving OC. It's just like, we know what you're meaning to say. You don't have to really emphasize that.
No, mothers love them. That's the whole point.
Oh, is
of
that it?
It?
Oh, I misunderstood.
I really do think that's the point, though.
I hope you're right.
I think it is. I really think it is.
I think it's ridiculous.
So do I, but I think part of it is to be over the top. I don't know. That's what I was always taking it as. I mean, And Carl Anderson's always talking about his, like, I have his a hot Asian wife. You know what I mean? And, like, we know AJ's married, and Gallows I don't think is, but...
Doesn't this make you sad, though, that this is what AJ's wrestling has come to right now? Like, these promos? I don't know. I just didn't like it.
I mean, yeah, I felt the promo wasn't necessary. Like, it's fine for him to come out and do that brawl, but then... Because then, and once his little promo thing ended... He was just talking about how he'll mop the floor with he said he'll mop the floor with CM Punk because of the chance.
Yeah.
And then just like I'll mop the floor with Roderick Strong and Nakamura this Sunday. And then Daniel Bryan's music hits and he comes down to the ring and that ends the whole thing.
Yeah. Wasn't Sami Zayn also in like the back corner during this? Like in the, when the brawl was happening? Too?
In the brawl, because he's the one who got the chair.
Yeah, so to me, it doesn't seem like Sami Zayn is the best... like tag team or any sort of partner to
like
have
manager
manager anything because he is absent he's an absentee
like, but he's I don't think he's supposed to be like physical because I think he's hurt I think that's the whole point is that he doesn't wrestle because he's hurt but he can still pick up a chair and hit someone from behind
I mean it looks like he's just cowarding away
regardless of
injury
yeah.
So that's my point. And I did want to bring up something that I forgot to mention before, but during his promo with Nakamura, when he couldn't remember Roderick's name, don't you think maybe that whole promo, he just forgot what he was supposed to say? Because that happened, and it could have been scripted, but then there was that other moment that you did mention where he called him a stud. But, like, I don't know. So maybe to me, like, that wasn't the writing. Maybe he just couldn't think of what he had to say.
I think all of it was the writing.
You think so?
Because I don't think Sami Zayn would have been like, hey, you know what a great word is to describe Nakamura? Stud.
Yeah.
I don't know. And what if he just didn't know what to say and just randomness came out?
And I don't know.
And also the whole Roderick thing, that was weird. I mean, I think he played it off well, like... I can't even remember his name. Like, who is he?
I thought that went well because it got laughs from the crowd when actually Nakamura spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but then even Nakamura's response made me feel like either he didn't know what he was saying, Sami Zayn, or he did a really great job at that promo and made me believe that.
See, I think he did a really good job.
I agree with Tom on that one.
You know, I'm going to bring up a really quick story. It's funny because I'm like a mark in a way. I see everything as a fan perspective.
Hold on. We're all marks. No, we're all marks. If you work in wrestling, you're a mark.
Okay, let me just say something really quick. Pretty much, I feel as though when I see wrestling, I act like a newbie, obviously. Well, I am newer, but I look at it like from that super fan perspective, like... It's, like, that's real. Like, whatever just happened, sure. Like, these really hurt. And when we did the Impact New York tapings, there was a match that Rich Swann was in and Willie Mack. It was a, I think it might have been, like, a triple. It was a tag team match, but I think there was multiple people involved. And so Willie Mack got injured. And it was part of story, but I swear I thought it was real. And all my family was there, and I was telling everybody, see, that's real. They are not joking. Like, he's really hurt. And I forgot to ask him after the show. And I remember I texted him later, and I was like a day or two later, I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm great. I'm good. And I was like, oh, my God, I thought you were really hurt.
Well, that leads me to a quick funny story that reminds me of. So back in my days reffing, so I remember there was a match I was reffing at this company in Anaheim that Eli Drake was involved in, and the guys are pretty much close to running over on their time. I'm getting yelled at in my headset in my earpiece while reffing, like, tell them to go home, and I'm trying to tell them. And no one's going home. So, like, I'm literally, like, telling them, like, the first pinfall I see, I'm counting to three. Because they're yelling at me because they're just going. So Eli gets the message, and he gets his opponent, and he's going to do some type of, like, tombstone pile driver type thing on him. But he does it so quickly that it looks so devastating, and the guy is just out. And I immediately count. The second I hit three... Two other refs just start sprinting to the ring because everyone in the back watching thought that this guy just got killed. And like all of a sudden, it's just like, so we're all checking him. We're helping him to the back. He's not responding to us. So it's just like, oh God, like he got hurt. The second we got to the back in the locker room, he's like, man, that was really good, wasn't it? Like, dude, don't work the workers that like that. We honestly thought you were hurt.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
and I'm like, now go get yelled at by the promoter because you guys ran over. And I was trying to tell you not to.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just like a total believer in everything. But I feel like you guys are very well aware. Like, I'll be watching a show with you and I'll point something out and be like, oh my God, he really hurt himself. Did you see how he fell on his neck? And you're like, no, he's good.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, he's fine.
I'm like, no, but did you see that? And you're like, yeah. I still believe in Santa Claus, you guys.
There you go. Well, why wouldn't you? He's real.
I know. Just kidding.
I mean, sometimes I wish I watched like that.
Oh, you know, of course.
Like, sometimes I feel like you watch and you're like, I feel like you just watch a match and you go, okay, well, I'm just going to wait, you know,
well, yeah, cause like,
this happens or that happens.
Well, because on occasion when there's a match where, like, you immediately go in thinking, like, I was telling you about one that I saw recently before we came in here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to necessarily talk about it on the show. How it was just like one of those, like, oh, well, I'm just assuming this is going to happen. But then as the match went on, it was just like, oh, wait, this guy might win. Oh, wait, this guy might win. Oh, wait, this guy might win. And, like, so I was literally just so into it because... Mm. Okay, they had me fooled. I have no idea who's going to win this match.
Yeah. Well, I think NXT this past week was that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you tuned in because you were like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't feel like we had that for Raw, for SmackDown, I mean, this week. Like, we knew, like, hey, everyone's going to be there. But NXT felt very special of, like, who's going to show up and what's going to happen. Like, if that was the take-home show, I think... people would have been like, I cannot wait for Survivor Series. This is going to be the best Survivor Series ever. I mean, the end of this show is good, too, but I think it was NXT was way more exciting than this.
Yeah, and actually, I'm like looking at the time like, oh, we still got a lot to get to. We've been having too much fun. Daniel Bryan, he's, you know, come out, start doing a promo, calls out Bray. Lights come out. We're expecting Bray to show up, but the lights come back on. No Bray. Instead, out comes Miz. And Miz talking about how last week I was professional, I had to bite my tongue, but you're weak and vulnerable, and I can't wait for Bray to beat you. Miz and slap Bryan, and right after the slap is when was the most awkward commercial break.
Yeah, it was this one and the one at the beginning with the girl with the women.
Yeah,
where like Rhea Ripley like did said something, and it was like, what's going on? Like, why are you going to break right now?
Yeah,
like at least smack him and then be like Miz, be like, I want to wrestle you right now. At least get that out, and then we at least know what's happening.
Or get a ref to run in and separate the two.
Yeah.
And then commercial.
Because then it's like, it comes back and they're like in the match already.
Yeah, they're in the middle of the match of Miz versus Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm. Which I love that they still hate each other.
Yeah, they still
hate each other.
Even though they're both baby faces now, they still both hate each other.
Yes.
Which is very intriguing. Mm. And this is, you know, these two have good matches together.
They do.
They really do. And... there's a point Daniel Bryan's in control, and it looks like he's finally going to go back to the yes chant. And as soon as he does it, lights go out. And where Miz was lying in the corner, lights come back up, and it's Bray as the Fiend. And Daniel Bryan runs at him, mandible claw, leaves him laying, gone.
What happened to the Miz? That's what I was concerned about.
I guess the Fiend ate him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Shayna Baszler, she calls out Bayley. She's in the ring. She's like, here I am. I'm not hitting you from behind. Let's go. And then Bayley attacks her from behind. Hey, how was that?
You gotta play dirty, right?
Yeah.
I mean, every time she's attacked her from behind.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
why not?
Turnabout's fair play, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's really the extent of that segment. There wasn't really a lot in that one.
No.
Moving on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, yeah, look at the time.
Six-man tag. Roman Reigns, Shorty G, and Mustafa Ali versus Robert Roode, Dolph Ziggler, and Corbin.
We haven't talked about this since I have... Like, you might have talked about it together, but the Shorty G thing...
Oh, we hate it.
How much you love it?
I haven't been here.
How much you love it, right?
So I just wanted to state my piece real quick.
Go right
Not
ahead.
Not loving it at all. Think it's a terrible decision, and poor Chad Gable. that they turned the short joke into his new name, Shorty G.
The rumor now, I don't know how factual it is, but like he's the one who suggested it.
I highly doubt that.
Why would he ever do that to himself? I doubt that. Why would you want that?
No.
And you still look like a male cheerleader for the Seattle Seahawks in that gear.
Chad.
But Shorty G does get slammed onto the announce table really hard in this match.
Yeah.
There was the finish of the match. So Ali is really hyped up because he's in Chicago, his hometown. He's got the Chicago flag. Crowd's going nuts for him. He's the one with the hot tag. He's going nuts. He's on the ropes. Ziggler pushes him off the top rope into a deep six. And Corbin pins Ali without his finishing move.
But he's pinned people with that move before.
Yeah, but...
And he should have pushed him. He should have pushed him into the end of days, though.
Yes,
because I think Ali jumping off the top rope and Corbin catching him and then hitting it would have looked awesome.
Yeah. So Corbin pins him, gets the win. After the match ends, though, is when everything really starts going nuts. Seth Rollins' music hits, and the Raw roster comes in from the crowd.
Like the Shield.
Just like the Shield. And then when Rollins hops in the ring, CM Punk chants.
And then Punk came out now.
No.
Yeah. Wait, what? What show are you watching?
Then the Raw roster gangs up on just a few SmackDown people that are still out there. Mm. They're beating them all. Finally, SmackDown roster shows up to even the score. And then D-Generation X shows up. They found a Jeep, which they wanted to pretend like it was a tank like the old days, even though the gate was already open for them.
Yep.
So driven in by Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Road Dogg.
Yep.
They
finally time traveled in 2019 to get inside the building.
With that beard, Road Dogg, he looks like he's 80 with that beard. But then led with the NXT Army, and everyone around is brawling at SmackDown. SmackDown pretty much goes off the air around the time where we have a big stare down with Keith Lee and Braun Strowman in the ring.
Yeah.
And it was just... we've said chaotic finishes, but when you have three rosters all brawling around the ring as a show, you can't get much more chaotic than that.
Yeah, and especially when you have at least 30 people from each roster, almost 20 to 30. You know,
yeah, like it's like, you had at least 50 people out there.
Yeah, like if it adds up quickly, and then I'm not sure if anybody you know watching has watched the extra footage that they released with Ali and Leo Rush doing the Spanish fly, like, off the top rope into everybody, which was insane.
Yeah.
And I think someone in the chat room wrote earlier where they were like, that's probably when the show was supposed to go off the air, which I agree.
It wasn't supposed to be that stare down. That would make sense.
That's where I feel like it really hurts SmackDown. Which it always did on USA, too, which made no sense. Like, Raw can run over, NXT can run over, but SmackDown can't run over.
But now neither of them can.
No, none of them can anymore. Well, NXT has been.
Has NXT been?
Yes, they have been.
Then they're the one with the exception, because Raw can't anymore. Yeah.
No, but NXT was.
Mm.
So I think it hurts it, because you're like, we just need like 30 seconds more. Is that really going to mess up, whatever's coming on after this?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a news story. If it's breaking news, they're going to cut away from SmackDown anyway.
You know, it's funny that you bring up news stories, though.
Yes.
Because I feel like there's a segment we really haven't truly had all that well in these last few weeks that involves news stories.
Yes.
What could it be?
I don't know. What could it be?
Oh, wait. Could it be Gabby's wrestling rap?
Yay! My favorite part of the show. I know you guys have missed this so much. All right, so lots of news. It was very hard to pick between all of it, but here are our top stories this week. So, you know him as Hardy, but on WWE, he is known as ACH. So ACH is
known as what?
Hardy. His last name is Hardy.
His name on
Christian NXT. Hardy.
No, his name on NXT was Jordan Miles.
No, I'm saying his real name is Hardy.
Oh.
Last name Hardy. Okay, so Christian Hardy Jr., known as ACH on recently WWE.
No, in Indies it was ACH.
Indies.
Jordan Miles
and
NXT.
And then Jordan Miles at NXT. My bad. There was a lot of confusion here. So ACH.
He's got a lot of names, this guy. A
lot of names. Like most wrestlers. ACH is no longer under contract with WWE. He has announced several indie dates, but let's talk about the behind-the-scenes drama as to why this may be. So we do know that he had some issue with merchandise that came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, or I guess like Albert Hardy Jr. and WWE had this like issue in late October following a t-shirt design that was compared to blackface imagery. Okay? WWE pulled the t-shirt and released a statement and said Hardy had approved the design, but the damage was already done. So since then, he had been very vocal on social media, and the company never really responded publicly. And so then last week, he said he had quit WWE and hated the company and everything they stand for. According to Dave Meltzer, he hasn't been at the Performance Center since this past September. So there's been a lot of drama, but he also tweeted an image of him signing a legal document with the hashtag KingIsBack. And he has made announcements that he will be joining Heavy Metal Wrestling and has dates for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment on December 1st and Pro Wrestling Revolver on December 27th. So what do you guys think about that whole issue with the merch and maybe like why he is released now? Do you think like this is something that stemmed from that or was prior to that?
No, it's with that. And they finally released him a few days ago officially. The issue, I mean, was he right that shirt was offensive? Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Now I have, you know, heard in the past as well that, you know, whoever it is in WWE, you know, who does stuff in the merch, they make sure that the superstar approves of whatever the design is before it is released. Now there was talk of, he was saying, oh, well, they never showed it to me. Then they issued a statement. Oh, they did show it to me, but it was on a different color. But this guy did this. It was like, no, but this guy is not the one who does this. It's this one. So, like, his story kept changing.
Mm.
And he just kept going public about it. And in my opinion, the way it all came out was, I was completely with him at the beginning because of the design of the shirt.
Mm.
But then it just sounded, oh, I'm going to be using this, and I'm just going on a tirade to get myself released from the company because I don't want to be here. So I'm going to say things that aren't 100% true.
Mm.
He's blaming Vince, calling Vince out when Vince has nothing to do with the shirt.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like putting on Periscope or Twitter Live or whatever.
Yeah, Twitter.
Like just obscenities saying F the WWE and all this. Just like, You just don't do that. Even if you have a disagreement on something where you rightfully did on this, whatever the story is, you don't result into that. And even other wrestlers, African-American wrestlers, like I think Titus tweeted him. He's like, I agree with you on the situation. I disagree on how you've been treating
it. Yeah, of course.
And so, hey, he'll get booked at places. They're going to use him because it's a hot topic right now. So
first of all, all these wrestlers get booked after. I mean, we saw what went down with Rich Swann. Then he was picked up. He's with Impact right now. There are so many wrestlers that go through situations and then come back and are still working at other, you know, indies. And then they'll go back to WWE maybe years later. Mm. I mean, didn't Hulk Hogan have an issue years ago?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they brought him back. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, he's like a legend, right? But still, you know, people mess up.
I mean, I think it seemed like kind of what you said of, like, either he, like, really wanted to get out of his contract. Mm-hmm. He was like, how can I find a way to get out of this contract? If I do this, they really have no choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think it just, like, gets real muddy and murky. And if you're going to keep putting out Twitter videos and stuff, like, they're obviously going to get picked up and retweeted and kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, someone that doesn't work for WWE or that is a sponsor that is just going to kind of find this video and, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next story. The New Day, Feel the Power, is coming to a podcast network soon to you. So the WWE podcast network that is working with Endeavor will be launching this new podcast from The New Day. And it was announced on Corey Graves' new podcast, which is After the Bell. So that's super exciting. They're going to be covering all types of topics, and it's going to be a weekly thing where they talk about personal stories from in and outside the ring, and all the topics will be concerning sports, video gaming, music, and tons more. So I think this is going to be really fun to hear, like, just insider fun stuff on the New Day without it being, like, super wrestling-oriented. Like, it's nice to just see who they are.
Yeah.
And I know that they do a little bit of that when they're playing video games on their Up, Up, Down, Down now. But I think it will be less character-driven and more, you know, who are you? And what do you really love? What do you really do when you're not in WWE or wrestling?
Yeah, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Up, Up, Down, Down, because we get to know the people as they really are.
Yeah.
And this is going to be another fun way to do it. Plus, it's going to give Xavier Woods more stuff to do while he's recovering.
Yes. And that will be premiering December 2nd, yes. So look out for that.
I am getting told by our producer we do have to wrap, so we got, like, one more story, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah.
What's our Owen story?
We're going to skip over my final one, which was the Moro one, but you guys can check that out. It's really juicy. He wasn't on commentator booth for this latest pay-per-view. And check out why online. So the only Owens thing that I have to wrap this up with is we were all maybe reluctant, not reluctant, to find out that Kevin Owens might be joining NXT when he appeared on NXT TakeOver War Games as a teammate of Ciampa. But guess what? Tonight, spoiler alert, he made a statement that he is defending Raw and he is Team Raw. So he will not be going anywhere, I think. But I'm happy that Owens came out to support developmental, even though they're not really developmental anymore, but support NXT and the roster and make some more wrestling appearances. It's kind of funny, too, because I just recorded a really quick, like, Match Monday with Stephen Kaufman about Kevin Owens at NXT.
So, yeah, his debut match, right?
Yeah, and so you guys will be seeing that tomorrow, but it's just funny that we just filmed that and he went back to NXT for this.
There you go.
And that's it.
All right, so we got to wrap this up. And just so you all know, because of the Thanksgiving weekend, next Sunday, AfterBuzz is not in operation because they like to celebrate holidays too. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. So, sorry. You're going to just be thankful and spend more time with your family this weekend.
Wait for 2 weeks to hear what we think about Survivor Series.
Boom. There you go.
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. Yes. We love you so much, and I hope you enjoy it and have lots of health, happiness, love, and be safe.
And Gabby, where can people talk to you to wish you a happy Thanksgiving?
Sure, you guys can wish me a happy Thanksgiving at Gabby Loren TV on both Instagram and Twitter, and keep tuning into Access TV for Women of Wrestling, even though we just had the season finale last night, or Saturday, yeah. But you guys tune into it. And Access TV will be also showing Impact episodes coming up every Tuesday.
All right, Tom.
Find me Twitter, Instagram, Tom.com. Also check out my Etsy store, Connolly Central. Buy those rings.
And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Tariff. And right now, the Pro Wrestling Tees have their big 10 days of Black Friday sale going on right now. You get 20% off my t-shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. And you literally can save lots of money off so many different things off there. So check it out. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time with your family. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. Have a good night.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.